is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Artist Justin Green is credited with creating the first autobiographical comic with his Binky Brown meets the Holy Virgin Mary. But the prolific artist's body of work is much more than his graphic novel and his recurring Binky Brown character. He died in April, and a memorial exhibition in Northside called Binky Brown's Funeral Pyre celebrates his career. Joining me to discuss the exhibition and Justin Green's life and legacy are renowned comic book artist and educator Ann Green's wife, Carol Tyler. Welcome, Carol.
Hello.
And Design Collective Gallery co-founder and Green's daughter, Julia Green. Thanks for being here, Julia.
Thank you for having us.
If you have questions or comments, you can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Carol, talk to us about Justin Green. First, I want you to talk to us a little bit about the underground comics scene, his connection to that, and just what drove him as such a prolific artist.
Yeah, hey, Justin was, is, I hate to put it in the past tense, but Justin came onto the scene in the late 60s, early 70s. He went to San Francisco, like a lot of folks, looking for that in that period of time and in that era. That was the magnet. And R. Crumb was out there doing comics. He had been in Italy with on a fellowship from school. And I think he was at RISD at the time. And he saw something while he was in Italy that said to him, I've got to go there. I want to be a part of this. So he was in San Francisco, and it was ripe for what he was ready to do. He had always been interested in comics. I think Fox and Crow was one of his first influences. And, you know, he grew up in Chicago, Catholic, in the 50s, 40s and 50s, his dad was Jewish and his mom was Catholic. And so he had a lot of confusion about, like, well, what's going on here? And it's all mapped out in Binky Brown.
Yeah. And talk to us a little bit more about the underground comics scene for listeners who aren't familiar with that and just the difference it was making. I mean, we're not talking about Marvel and DC Comics here.
No. The whole thing had to do with wanting to have ownership of your material. And so, for example, if you work for Marvel or DC, you would be working, let's say, on a franchise, or you would be adding content to an already existing name, like, you know, Superman or something like that. I'm really not as proficient about comic books. I'm sorry, but comics are not my thing. But what Justin and the underground cartoonist did was, it was like, all bets are off. We can talk about anything. We have total freedom. We have our own publishers. And so it was just wide open for making it whatever you needed to do to express yourself. And so, yes, you did have a lot of sex, drugs, rock and roll, and a lot of talking about the counterculture and the subculture at the time. But what Justin did was he focused in on what was going on in his own inner life, and to do the kind of work that he did had never been done before. In other words, he was talking about his mental illness, which at the time was not yet, he didn't discuss it. And when he was a boy, he never got treatment for it. There was, it was just called neurosis. And there was no turning to mom and saying, I don't, things are not adding up for me. I don't feel right. He just had to deal with it. Mm. And so he took all of his thoughts and all of his impressions about how actually whacked out the world was. It just, the Catholic Church was a problem, specifically the Blessed Mother. He was worried that he was going to harm. He had harmful thoughts. That was the type of OCD he had. Mm. Harmful thoughts towards the Virgin Mary. And so the inner struggle, the turmoil that he went through, he put it into the work. So he made an incredible adaptation of his problem. It was a big problem for him. Mm. It prevented him from having social interaction in a normal way, but he found the workarounds because he was part, yes, he was definitely part of that scene. He played guitar. He had lots of ladies. You know, that was the scene back then. And he became quite a contributor. He was major. He was major in the field. And that's because he did bring to the party an entire way of looking at what you could do with comic books, and found the, in that milieu, you know, he found the, found his voice and the method to get it across. So the underground's kind of fizzled, I'd say, in the mid to late 70s. And they just sort of morphed into alternative comics.
Yeah.
And Justin did continue to publish his whole life. But the heyday of it, let's say, was in the late 60s, early 70s. And it was pretty much San Francisco, although there were comics in Chicago and in New York. There were anthologies that started in the mid 70s on both coasts. And Justin did Binky Brown in 1972 in San Francisco. Mm. His doing Binky Brown was noticed by some of his peers, specifically Art Spiegelman, who, when he saw what Justin was doing, it gave him the idea that he could do Mouse, but turned out to be Mouse.
Yeah. Well, and I do want to talk some more about those influences a little bit later, but Julia, your father was so much more than his Binky Brown work, as important and well-known as that is. Can you talk to us about what you're really showcasing in this memorial exhibition, Binky Brown's Funeral Pyre?
We are showcasing that, but we're also showcasing beyond his underground. So that would also include his just day-to-day grind, which was sign painting. My older sister, she's 10 years older than me, and she and I have different moms, but we have the same dad. He had to make a living. Underground cartooning was not like a bread and butter job at all. And at the time, if you think about it, in the 70s, sign painting was completely different than it is today, in that there weren't computers to really rely on. So everybody needed their sign painted. And he made a really great living at that. He had a studio, and my mom, you know, she used to like to brag and say he had a full one-page ad in the Yellow Pages, which was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a very, very large part of his career as a sign painter. That continued here in Cincinnati as well. And some of his signs of note are on the strip in Northside. So those are the roughs of those are shown as an example. We have tons of photographs of the example. We also have some of his comics that he did for Signs of the Times magazine called The Sign Game. So I know my mom had discussed his autobiographical comics. He continued that his whole career. So The Sign Game is unique in that it is a monthly one-pager comic, and it was about being a sign painter in the field and just stories and encounters that he had. As some listeners might know, Signs of the Times magazine was through ST Media, which was a Cincinnati-based publisher, and the people that were closely related to that, Todd Swarmstead and his brother, started the American Sign Museum here in Camp Washington. So it's kind of a cool Cincinnati connection. We also wanted to pay homage to his personal life. So we have a lot of his personal mementos, paintings and drawings that he did, as well as it's actually the exact drawing table, his desk, everything. I call it a replica because we took it piece by piece and put it in the gallery exactly as it was at home. We also have a life-size installation of one of his drawings that we did, that we made a to-scale set of. We have countless drawings, notebooks, correspondence, letters, just pretty much anything you can think of that would encompass someone's life as a creative.
Wow. We're talking about the life and legacy of Justin Green with renowned comic book artist and educator Ann Green's wife, Carol Tyler, and Design Collective Gallery co-founder and Green's daughter, Julia Green. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We did get an email from Anjali. Anjali writes, I'd love to hear a little bit more about Justin Green's music, too. Carol, talk to us about that.
Oh, hey, this is the incredible underscore, let's say the soundtrack of our lives. Julie remembers this. Justin plays guitar, always. So I'd be trying to get something on the stove and he'd be over there picking, but it was great picking. And it turns out he is a blues, I'd say influenced by the blues, but he also, of course, wrote tons of songs about his own experiences. And so after he passed away, I knew he played all the time. It seemed like he was always picking at the guitar. He wasn't much for performing, but he was constantly composing and fiddling around. He had a 12-string guitar that he adapted. He turned it down to 5 strings. He used modal tuning. And then after he passed away in the basement, it was like basement tapes. Wow, I found this giant bag of cassette tapes. It was like, whoa. And as I've been going through them, there are hundreds of hours of songs that he wrote. And it's like, I just found a set that he did. They're all titled Cinci, C-I-N-C-I, a beautiful instrumental. And what he did was he was finger picking. So he was chording and finger picking and trying to, he would compose by picking at the guitar, and it just amazing. When I met him in San Francisco, this is great. I had gone out there for the summer and called him up because I was at Syracuse and I was a painter and I was putting words and telling stories with my paintings, and I knew about his comic work. And so I thought, well, when I go out there, I'm going to call him. And I did, and he invited me to lunch, and it was very romantic. We went to eat, have a sandwich, and after lunch, I just didn't want to leave him. And I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going back to the job. He was painting Tommy's Joint in San Francisco, a repaint of Tommy's Joint, which is a landmark. But first, let's stop at this music store. And he walks in, saunters in, grabs a guitar off the wall, and sits down and plays a song he wrote called The Sign Painter Blues.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. He had me there. It was amazing. It's my favorite song. And he turns out, I found in the tapes, he's got a trilogy of songs about sign painting. Yeah, so he's left us with a legacy of music as well as the art. And I did want to mention, he is the designer of the Hamilton County flag, which is also the logo I see when we go down to pay taxes or whatever. You know, there's the Hamilton County logo that he did. And a lot of people know his sign work. He did the Carthage mural. He did a lot of stuff for artwork. He mentored students. He did the whole front and interior, all the signs you see at Shake It. He did the Blue Jay, the Littlefield. Julia, what else has he done?
Well, let's save some for after the break.
We'll
continue our conversation about the life and legacy of Justin Green in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll talk with the creator of the Funky Winkerbean comic strip about how his work and characters have grown up with him. This is Cincinnati Edition.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our discussion about the life and legacy of Justin Green with renowned comic book artist and educator and Green's wife, Carol Tyler, and Design Collective Gallery co-founder and Green's daughter, Julia Green. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Julie, we've talked quite a bit about your father's work, both as an artist and a sign painter. Of course, everybody's more than their work. Help us get to know your dad a little bit as a father, as a person.
Oh, man, that's so much to say. I don't even think I could say it like without going on and on and on, because he really was. Everybody says it about their parents that they love to a degree, you know, there's nobody like him, but I really feel like there wasn't. He was, for me, I would say like my anchor, because one thing that my dad and I shared in common that, I couldn't say the same for my mom was our struggle with obsessive compulsive disorder. So it is a genetic, thing that they've discovered, and I inherited it from my dad. And when I was in high school, I was struggling with it pretty badly. And my dad, one day I couldn't go to school because my anxiety was through the roof, and he took me back to his studio that day, and he handed me Binky Brown, which I had never read before. And he said, read this and we'll talk after. And I can't tell you how much relief I felt when I was able to read that comic, because number one, it made me feel completely understood and like I wasn't alone. But one experience that I have that's different than anybody else that's read it that has OCD that can agree that they had that feeling was that this was actually my father. And I kind of attribute my life to before Binky and after Binky, because after Binky, the relationship with my dad and I, you know, as a kid, we always had fun. We'd do things together. I always associated good times with dad. But after Binky, it just became way deeper than that, because it's almost like we could telepathically communicate, because we just understood each other and we understood our anxieties and our tics and stuff like that. So I always had great comfort in knowing that he was there and he could understand me in a way that I don't think a lot of parents have the opportunity to understand their children like that.
And we've mentioned that you're the Design Collective Gallery co-founder. I understand you're also an artist. How did your dad influence you in terms of your work?
Well, I don't know if influence would be as good as a word for like push, like he would push me to do my best. You know, I like to tell people that, you know, if you're an artist and your parents are artists and you do something and you show them, they're never going to say, oh, that looks awesome. Or that looks great, honey. Like it's always a critique. And I knew, and I think one time I even said like, you always critique my work. Why can't you just say it looks nice? And then I think a couple times my mom actually would just say, oh, that looks good. And I was like, well, you're lying. What do you really feel about it? So I will say a funny thing about my dad is that he was very adamant about how serious he was about his tools and making sure that they were well taken care of. And the number one tool was the brush. And for some reason, Winsor & Newton had this video cassette, and it was on how sable brushes were made and how it was like a 20-minute tape on how they were made, and it showed the factory footage and then like how to properly care for your brush. And, you know, I would leave my paint brushes in the water and walk away. And I still unfortunately do that. But as a kid, my punishment for that would be that I'd have to sit there and watch this 20-minute video, which to a kid seems like the worst punishment ever. It didn't stick, obviously, but it was really funny because that's the kind of upbringing I had, and it was cool, and I don't regret any minute of it. And I'm so sad he's gone, because me and my partner were both artists, and you know, we would call him for suggestions on things, and he'd always come up with the most astute suggestion that only he would know, and it would be spot on and right. And I have so many things I wish I could talk to him about, but I guess I just have to use that mental brainwave that we had together and try to channel that energy and put that into my work. So,
and if I can jump in here, I'm just going to say, Julia is a unique individual in that she had two cartooning parents. And I remember when she came home from her first day at daycare, she was so excited. She said, "Mom, guess what? Jason's dad works at a bank." And I was like, "Duh. Well, okay. It didn't seem like news, but everyone in her world and everyone in her life at that time was a cartoonist. And so she believed that that was the world, the way the world was ordered, the whole world of art supplies and projects and deadlines. And we would sit at the dinner table and we'd throw out these script ideas and one-liners, and all of this is what makes this exhibit that we put together. It's like, how can we tell the story? But that's what we are. We're storytellers. And the exhibit itself, in fact, you come to the exhibit, we will give you a curated tour.
Yes. Anybody that comes, we make sure that everybody that comes into the exhibit understands it. My mom and I are always there during gallery hours, 4 to 7, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if you can't come during those times, we also do appointments. But it's really, we really try to give everyone the total experience and a total gallery tour, and are happy to. So,
yes.
Because every time we do that, it's like, it's another way for us to preserve our moments and our memories with my dad, Justin Green. So I do want to say one other thing, because I do want to mention my sister. I would say our dad, and it's a testimony in the back of his reprint of Binky Brown, the sampler. He loved being a dad, and he put us first. And I would say that above everything else, his work and everything, he was most proud of my sister and I. And I would say that that was something really special. He would say that that we were his best masterpieces. So I miss him. You know, I think that he was wonderful. And that's just one other thing I wanted to throw in there about him being a dad.
Yeah. Well, I also want to say that there's a filmmaker doing a documentary about us.
Oh, good.
And it's called Married to Comics. Being that, you know how in college you declare your major and you're going to be an artist, or you're going to be an engineer, for example. Well, we are committed in this family. We're committed to the form. Justin and I were committed to each other. We have this family. We have this life of comics. And this fellow, his name's John Kinhart, he's been following us around since 2014.
Oh my goodness.
Telling the story of this family, of this marriage to this form, but also an intimate portrayal of our connecting and being individuals and yet being a unit. And we do, like I said, we're storytellers. We talk about that in the show, and it's going to be in this upcoming documentary. So it's a very interesting world to be in. It's a little different than you think. It's not comic books. It's more like literature that we do, visual literature. But yeah, I look forward to seeing people come to the exhibit, and we are working hard to preserve his legacy as well as build on the future and do our own work. Julia and I both have projects. Katie has projects. and we are moving forward.
Yeah. I've been talking with renowned comic book artist and educator and Green's wife, Carol Tyler, and Design Collective Gallery co-founder and Justin Green's daughter, Julia Green. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Binky Brown's Funeral Pyre, a memorial exhibition celebrating the life of Justin Green, continues through December 31st at Design Collective Gallery in Northside. Up next, we'll talk with the creator of the Funky Winkerbean comic strip about his 50 years in the business and how it all began. This is Cincinnati Edition.